What was your reaction to being selected to this post by your judicial colleagues?
I was very honored, and I really do count it as a privilege because it's always really nice when you get the support of your peers. It means even more so, I think, than when it's coming from outside, the fact that people that you work with for a number of years have this kind of faith and confidence in you, that they think that you can do this job.
And Judge Ransom, how about for you?
Initially, it was honestly shock because with the assistant PJ position, one of the judges had left. It was Judge Garvey. When he left unexpectedly, then everybody had to move up. And so then Judge Mullen needed an assistant. And so it was what Gloria said. You know, people came to me and asked me to accept the assistant position. And you never really think, okay, that means eventually I'm going to ascend to the PJ position. But I agree with her statement. You know, these are people that you work with and you respect, but you don't understand the level of confidence that people really have in you until your own colleagues support you for a position of this nature.
Yeah. What do you both view as being your main role as the presiding judge? I know there are a lot of things that you have to do, but how do you view that role?
I mean, for me, we really are the first face of the court, you know, and I think it starts with our website. You know, I look at different websites, and that's one thing I know we're going to work on in the city, but we really are what people identify our courts with. We are the people that when people think, you know, 21st, 22nd Circuit, they see your face. And, you know, our areas have gone through a lot of transition. We have tons of new judges in the city. I think the county's going to go through that in the same way. So being the face of the court and also, you know, you sort of rein in your own colleagues. We're all 30-plus people, different personalities, and we all get along, but it's a family. You know, so there are little squabbles and little things that we, you know, we deal with in-house, but at the end of the day, the presiding judge is the person that makes the decision.
And Judge Rena, for you.
I would agree with that as well. You really are the face of the court. And I will say this as well. I kind of had the same situation that Robin had. In fact, it was a couple of one of our past PJs came to me and said, you know what, you should, you know, run for presiding judge. And I was like, really? And I was really kind of surprised as well that someone would approach me with doing it. And so then and I said, well, let me call a few people to see how this is going to work. And so when I call people, they go, oh, I think you'd be great. And I was like, really? And so I was kind of shocked as well. But in reference to your last question, we are the face of the court. And it is important, I think, that that we give people confidence in the court. We want to make sure, of course, you know, that we, of course, always are, and all the people that work there are courteous, that we keep in mind, you know, that most of the time when people come to the court, they, of course, you know, they are usually not happy. It's not great situations that bring them there. They're usually having up people in their lives when they come to the court. So we want to make sure that we as court personnel, you know, of course, that we present a friendly and courteous face to the public. We want to make sure, of course, that we exude confidence in the court so that everybody feels like that when they approach, they're treated fairly. And as Robin said, we also, of course, have to keep all of the machinations, for lack of a better word, and relationships that occur within the courthouse, that we keep those, of course, flowing and everybody, of course, getting along and, of course, doing their jobs and what they're supposed to do.
You both mentioned being the face of the court and what, you know, individuals will see when they look at the court. Starting January 2nd, you will have presiding judges and prosecutors in both of these circuits who are African American. Is that important? And if it is, why?
I mean, I think for me, first and foremost, we're judges of the state of Missouri. And I know I gave an interview years ago and someone's asked me, you know, the race question. And I said, you know, when I walk into a room, it's very obvious that I'm a black female. You know, I don't need to announce that. I think the one thing that makes me very proud in this role with those two particular identifying factors is that we've had a lot of stressors in our communities in the last few years because of some court decisions and verdicts, and some people weren't happy. And regardless of how you fall, you know, what position you take in those categories, the rioting, you know, the distrust, not only in the court system, with the police, with the prosecutors. This, to me, gives us an opportunity to show the entire community. As Gloria said, we are judges. We represent the state. We represent the citizens of our areas. And we are trying to do the best that we can to be fair for all people. I think the one thing, though, is that you have so many people who feel almost disenfranchised and that they're not getting the representation. And I personally say, you know, sometimes it's a misunderstanding from those individuals as to what our roles are. And so I'm hoping that in our roles, we can really get to some of those people who don't feel that they're represented and let them know, you know, just because maybe a decision doesn't go your way, it doesn't mean that we're not listening. But, you know, at the end of the day, the law is what it is. But everybody ought to be respected and heard. And that's what I'm really excited about, actually having the opportunity to try to make that happen.
And I would like to add on to that the fact that there will be African-American presiding judges as well as African-American prosecutors in both St. Louis City and St. Louis County. I think that what it might do for those of our citizens who feel disenfranchised is for them to know basically that, you know, that the system does work. The fact that we are here in these positions, I think, is an indication that the system works. I believe that it may, of course, foster some trust. The prosecutors will have their job to do. I think that it is my belief that, of course, they're going to follow the law. They're going to follow the rules. They're going to look at the charges. They're going to look at the evidence, and they're going to do what, you know, what the rules say. And so from that, I think that that may be able to create some trust so that for many years, those people that thought that the prosecutors or the judges, because they were of a different race, were doing something that was untoward or that should not have been done, they'll be able to see that that was not true and that they were simply following the rules, doing the very best that they could under the circumstances.
Is there something specific that being the presiding judge and sort of, you know, the face of the court, are you hoping to use that role in any special way to ensure that more people believe that they're being heard? Judge Ransom, you mentioned that specifically.
Yes. we have our education committee, public education committee, where we go out to the neighborhoods and we talk. And I was telling somebody, I said, it's just like people in church. You know, those are not the people who really need to hear the message. They know it. It's getting to the people who aren't present. And a lot of that really happens with getting to know your community leaders and trying to reach out to those people who may not come to the ward meetings, but you may be able to meet with them separately. Also, the presiding judge has the opportunity to go to our jury duty. And that's my biggest area, I think, that I get frustrated because a lot of our young people come in and they say, well, I can't serve today. And that's fine. So you say, well, when can you serve? Well, I can't serve at all because I can't be fair. I don't trust the system. I don't trust the police. I don't trust the judges. And my response is, you know, we need good people to serve. And if you think the system's broken or it's not working, the only way to help is for you to participate and do your civic duty. And so I think for me, talking to those people one-on-one, not only at jury duty, but also in the community and more informal and impromptu type meetings might be helpful.
Georgina?
And for us, we have a really good, thanks to Christy Bertelson, we do have a really good public outreach that's going on, of course, in St. Louis County. And, you know, we have judges that go out and speak at, you know, Rotary Club, or they go out, you know, to the various public libraries. If you contact her and say that you want somebody to go out and speak, we do. We also have a student encouragement program, which kind of replaced our old truancy court that we had for many years. And so now judges, of course, are going to the schools. So the young people, of course, these are kids, of course, that need assistance, but it also allows the judge to educate not only the young people that are there, but also the teachers that are involved in our student encouragement program. And I do a lot of speaking sometimes at Women Day services at various churches in the city. And so one of my main spiels whenever I go is to encourage people to, when you get that summons, please serve. I know a lot of people, I always say, you're busy. I understand that. We're all busy. But this is where you really get a chance to see how our how our judiciary works and how our system of government works. It only works if you as the citizens actually do your civic duty and become engaged in the process. And I also say, please do not say that you cannot judge anyone, because a lot of people say, well, you know, the Bible says judge not that ye be judged. And I say, but you know what, that's not what this is really about. You're going to be given, you know, a set of instructions. You just have to follow those based upon the evidence that you hear and receive in that, you know, in the courtroom, and that which the judge lets in. So I do try to encourage everybody to understand that we really need them to participate. So we do go out and do a lot of public speaking as well in St. Louis County to encourage citizens to participate.
Another thing that you guys also look at is, or presiding judges look at, is some of the specialty dockets, drug courts, domestic violence courts. Are there ones that you're hoping to expand or bring to your circuits, and others that maybe you're looking at evaluating and changing?
Well, we are... In that area, we're hoping to bring to our circuit to expand our drug court. We do have a drug court. We're hoping to get a drug court commissioner that, of course, will allow us to expand the number of cases that will be heard in drug court. We also now have a mental health court as well as a veterans court, which we are expanding as well. We're hoping to be able to get more people in the mental health court. So we do have a grant. It is the Stanley, and I brought, not Stanley, but Sidney R. Bear Jr. Foundation, and it's going to allow us to expand our mental health court. It was a $400,000 three-year grant, and it will also include both civil as well as criminal cases. So we're really happy about that. And that will allow us to have, you know, more personnel and, of course, be able to extend that service to more individuals.
We have our treatment court, and treatment court is very popular across the state of Missouri, actually nationwide. Mm-hmm. And the statistics are showing that treatment courts work. I think in the city, we've had some ups and downs with our treatment court, not because of the personnel, but we've had a lot of cases, a decline in the number of cases being referred. So our juvenile court treatment program, that ceased, as well as our family treatment court program in juvenile court. And so now we're primarily just downtown with the adult treatment court. And so I think we would like to really focus on making our treatment court as strong as it can be, focusing on the graduation rates, as well as, you know, allowing a lot more people in, especially with the opioid addiction. We also have the mental health court and the veterans court. And so there are a lot of different specialty courts that are fairly new, but I think they offer a lot of opportunities as far as diversion from the traditional, you know, going through the chains of criminal case, prosecution, and sentencing.
You both talked about expanding the access to the treatment courts, to the mental health courts. Why is the expansion something that is you'll be advocating for?
First of all, the city, I believe you guys have, if I'm not mistaken, Judge Ransom, you have not only a judge, but you also have a commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have a commissioner in St. Louis County. That will allow us to have a lot more cases, of course. And because those dockets, those are our heaviest dockets, most of the charges, I would say the majority of the charges that we get in criminal or drug and gun related cases. A lot of them are burglaries, of course, because people, of course, are stealing in order to support their habits. And so that's very, very important. And then we also find that there's a mental health component many times to the drug abuse. Something happened that caused a person's life to spiral out of control. And so they decided to treat it either with drugs and or alcohol. We have a DWI court as well. And so from that standpoint, it's really, really important. And we found that if we can get those to work together, that it does make a big difference. And as Judge Ransom said, they really do work. We've had great success with them, and we're hoping with the addition of this drug court commissioner, which we're keeping our fingers crossed that we'll be able to secure, that we'll be able to, of course, divert even more people.
I think the one thing about traditional court is that it works in some instances. And once you've been doing this job long enough, you start to see that everybody doesn't need the same treatment. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to specialize treatment to different people in order for them to be successful. Everybody doesn't have a drug issue, but somebody has a mental health crisis. And traditional courts really aren't designed to treat those particular issues. You know, traditional courts work when there are heinous offenses that have been committed, and those people more than likely are going to face some type of trial and possible incarceration. But for your person that is suffering from an addiction or a mental illness, especially for some of your low-level felonies, those diversion-type programs and treatment programs can help get at the source of why this person may have committed that particular offense. You know, traditional courts, even though we may order someone into drug treatment, the probation officer is not monitoring treatment. They're monitoring whether or not you've had a positive, you know, drug drop or something of that nature, and then you're facing revocation. Whereas treatment courts, they understand relapse is part of your success. You know, your traditional courts are not as open, and they're not designed to be that way. So I think expanding Sure. just helps those individuals who are suffering, who are not criminals per se, they're just suffering from some type of addiction or illness, they can be treated a little bit differently.
Do you find that your colleagues are supportive of expanding, taking on this commissioner, expanding the mental health courts, expanding and getting more people into the treatment courts in the city, for example?
They are. We do have two commissioners already. And then we have Judge Sullivan, who runs our mental health docket and veterans court. He is the chair of our drug court committee. And so there's a committee that helps to oversee everything in treatment court. And we really are dedicated to its success, not only because we believe in it, but, you know, the pendulum goes back and forth. And right now, nationwide, people want these courts and they want to see these courts succeed, because sending, you know, a lot of people who are addicted to prison, you know, for a year or two and they're out, and then they're going to come right back and commit another offense, that's certainly not cost effective when you look at it long term.
And I think that's true, too, as well. Judge Burton is over our treatment courts in St. Louis County. And, of course, we don't have any commissioners, as I said, so we're really anxious to, I know, to get one. But they really do work. We have found that those people that actually go through drug court, they actually are much more successful. A lot of them do not relapse. They're able to have an opportunity to actually deal with those problems that actually got them on this path to begin with. And so I think that's very, very important. And so from that standpoint, I think that it really does make a difference. We've had a lot of people come back and they'll say, you know, really, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for not giving up on me. And thank you for giving me this chance. They acknowledge that they've messed up along the way, that they did not do everything that they were told. But because it is a treatment court, because that's kind of built into the process that they are going to mess up, as they say, or relapse, then basically, you know, that's kind of all understood. And so they do much better. And we think that it's really important, because one of the things that Judge Ransom mentioned is the cost. It costs a lot of money to incarcerate a person. This is a cheaper and much more cost effective way of dealing with, you know, those who come into the courts for alcohol, for drugs, and for mental health issues.
Judge Reno, you have, as presiding judge in St. Louis County, the supervisory authority over dozens of municipal courts.
Yes.
Are there reforms you can and hope to push for from the presiding judge position?
Yes, we are in the process of revamping, reorganizing, and of course, improving our municipal courts. They are a division, of course, of the Missouri State Circuit Court System. Right now we're in the process of getting our courts onto Show Me Courts. So we're in the process of doing that as well. We have combined some of our courts. As you probably know from the history, there were originally 90 plus municipalities in St. Louis County. We've gotten that down to now, there are about 70 actual municipalities that are actually operating. We have what we call the Normandy Hub. So we have grouped some of the municipalities, the smaller ones, into the larger ones so that they can, of course, run more effectively. We, of course, are making sure that all of our judges, now in our muni courts, are certified, that all the muni courts operate the way any other court would, with proper signage, with the separation of powers. We want to make sure that, you know, that the prosecutor and that the judge, everybody understands the judicial branch, the executive branch. So we're doing that. We want to make sure that, you know, that the courts, that there's a separate court clerk, and that the city's clerk is not also the court clerk. Because the city's clerk, of course, works for, you know, the executive branch, the mayor, and responsible to the councils of those municipalities. The court clerk, of course, is not. And so we're doing all of that to make sure that they operate. It is a work in progress, but we are making great strides. And we do think that eventually, you know, everybody's going to come on board and we'll be able to get this done so that it'll be more efficient. It will serve the people of St. Louis County better. And so that's what we're working on.
If we were to sit down and have this conversation a year from now, what would make you both say that your first 12 to 14 months in office were a success?
I think for me, young people, that's my biggest issue. Having done a stint for 3 years at juvenile court, and then I was also a commissioner in juvenile court for 6 years in the early 2000s, you know, when you look at the crimes that are being committed by our young people, they're getting younger and younger, and the offenses are getting more serious. And so that's the group that I would really feel happy if I were able to reach, you know, the kids that are 15, let's say to 25, and to get those people excited about the court system, the judiciary, their city, you know, where they live. I have so many of those people that I run into every single day, and they have nothing good to say about their futures, the city, and they may like you personally. You know, I think Judge Reno can say the same thing. In court, you know, pretty much people respect you. You know, you have the robe, and so they're going to be considerate and kind and nice, and some of them don't really know. We can talk, you know, as people, you know, especially if it's not going on with your case, but that you can actually chit-chat and have real conversations. And when you break those walls down and you listen to people talk about a system that we've both worked in for a long time and that we both love and respect, you know, it's very hurtful to hear people say, you know, this just doesn't work for me. And I'm thinking, but it really does. After 12 months, if I can say I've reached out to some of those people and had some of our younger kids from the city really appreciate not only where they live, but to also appreciate that, you know, this is the best system that I think we have. I think it's the best system ever, and we need people to really appreciate it and be a part of it.
And I guess for me, after a year, if we have brought our municipal courts online with Show Me Courts, and if we are really making real progress in that, I think that I'll consider that to be, I guess, a positive for sure. The other thing, of course, is that one of the things that Robin just said, and I kind of give this speech every time I talk to jurors, and that is that I always talk about how good our system is. Attorney Frankie Freeman used to host every year, for lack of a better word, an international tea. And she would always bring in people from the judiciary, attorneys, you know, from overseas and from other countries. And you got a chance to talk to them about how their systems worked. And one of the things that I realized after speaking with other people, and I try to convey this everywhere I go, people really do not realize, for all of our warts and for all of our problems, this truly is the best legal system in the world. It is the one where your neighbors get a chance to come in and help you resolve a dispute. They get a chance to listen in, and you get a chance to tell your side, and then they get a chance to tell their side. And then your neighbors, basically, get a chance to make a decision as to, you know, what happens. And people don't realize how important that is, that you get a say. And it really is important. And I always tell people that having been a trial attorney before I became a judge, I have great faith in the jury system. I have very few cases where I really believe that the jurors did not make the right determination. They do based upon the evidence that they have. So for me, if I can convey that to the public, to the people that I meet and encounter, I'll feel really good about this, getting a chance to talk to more people about it, because I really have great faith in our system. And I know people talk about it and they bash it, but it really is, to me, the best system in the world.